Hey there, just a quick heads up. We had some audio issues on the first half of this podcast. Yeah. So there's some popping. It goes away in the second half. Coincidentally, that's Kathleen's half. So I don't know. Maybe I got screwed over.
I'm trying to swindle you.
Sorry about that. We will have it fixed for next week.
Pop, pop, pop.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your Parisian wannabe, unsuspectingly outdoorsy, had an extremely boozy weekend friend.
And I am Bethany, your miracle seltzer drinking, hand sanitizer running out of, just revamped my lip gloss collection friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
how to be a good wife according to 1943. Over the weekend, it was International Women's Day.
Yeah.
And there's always room for improvement.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't understand why there needs to be an International Women's Day. So I figured we would look back at what it used to look like for women to showcase that there is still a big disparity. And in like 50 years, we'll look back at today and be like, holy crap, women still weren't paid the same.
Yep.
But it's going to be fun. It's not going to be like angry. It's very funny what women were told to do. And we're also going to have a little quiz to see if you can tell how you were supposed to attract the attention of a man in the 50s.
You know what, Bethany? I would not have been able to attract any man back in the 50s. I have no idea what temperature you cook roast beef.
You would have been screwed. But you're very good at being flirty. I think you would have done quite well.
And this week, I'm talking about a smorgasbord of weird-ass news that is happening right now in
the
world.
I love when you do this.
And not to be confused with smorgasburg.
Yeah, we had a discussion before the pod on how to pronounce smorgasbord or smorgasbord.
What's that effect called? The Bernstein Bears, the Bernstein.
The Mandela effect.
There we go. The Mandela effect. Yeah, it's smorgasbord, B-O-R-D.
Smorgasbord.
Not B-E-R-G, which I think a lot of people think that it is.
Because that's a food market in Williamsburg.
Something like that.
Okay. Before we jump into anything, I have a bee in my bonnet.
Let that bee out. Don't let it sting you.
Last night, I was tired and I should have gone to bed, but instead I stayed up for like an hour and a half ranting to Dennis about this new product that is out there. I mean, look, they're not going to approach us to endorse them.
No.
But if they were going to, they're not anymore. This product is called Hydrate, but it's spelled H-Y-D-R-T-E. And
it's missing an A in the middle.
It's missing an A. And it's along this new trend of companies taking out the vowels. Like Nike had an app called Sneakers, but it was S-N-K-R-S.
Yeah.
Sneakers.
Or Anthropology has a separate line of fancy dresses for weddings called Beholden.
Beholden,
but
yes.
But it's like B-H-L-D-N.
Yes. I think that was the first one I ever saw, and I didn't know how to pronounce it, and you had to explain it to me. So but that's not why I'm mad. I am mad because this water bottle, I'm going to explain to you how it looks.
It's so silly because there's an E at the end, so they're not leaving out all the vowels, and sometimes Y is considered a vowel.
Right.
Also, do products really need names that explain what the product does? Like if a new brand of sneakers came out and it was called Foot Protection.
Right, exactly.
Or a brand of sweaters, This Is Warm.
Cozy, C-Z-Y.
Brand of underwear. Fartin pants.
F-R-T-N-P-N-T-S. So I call it the High Dirt Water Bottle because that's how it's spelled. It's made out of plastic.
Yeah.
And its website says that it is A, helping hydrate you. And I can't even find their website right now, and that's a marketing problem.
Yeah.
It helps cut down on waste because it's reusable.
Okay.
But it's made of plastic still.
Yeah.
And they say its sole huge thing that makes it different from other water bottles is that it is flat. So it's shaped like a flask.
So you can like put it in a purse or it's not going to take up circular room.
You can put it with your laptop and your books is what it says. But people don't carry books anymore.
No.
So that's getting rid of one of your points. And also, it's plastic. So it's still plastic.
Yeah.
And if you leave it out in the sun, it's going to still be plastic that is heating your water and making it gross.
Is it BPA free?
It is BPA free. But plastic. Also, now it's shaped like a flask, so it's a flask.
So why don't they just make a flask-shaped water bottle?
Exactly.
With, like, insulation and metal and that kind of stuff.
That's the next thing.
Yeah.
So it has an FAQ on its website, which I am doing by memory because, again, can't find them online. And they say, question, can I put my seltzer water or hot beverages in this?
No.
Answer, no, it's plastic. So you're buying, and it's, I think it's 33 euros. It's expensive.
Oh, Lord.
So now you're spending a ton of money on something that only carries water and only cold water, but doesn't keep it cold. Now, where do you put this in your car?
Yeah, exactly.
Nowhere. It doesn't fit in your car cup holder.
And backpacks with like water bottle holders on the side,
nope.
They're shaped for round water bottles.
And the top that screws off
yeah.
is small. So you're A, going to lose it because it's not attached to it. And B, it's so small that when you drink it, there's no way for the air to get in and displace the water. So it's not going to come out fast. It's going to go glug,
glug, glug,
glug, glug. And, oh, I'm so mad about this thing. And guess how much it carries? How much water can you fit in this?
16 ounces.
11.8 ounces of water.
This is some trust fund kid that's like, let me make this really cool idea.
This does nothing.
I'm going to amp up this idea infinitely right now. You ready?
Yes.
Not hydrate. No A. It's called High Drake, and it's THC-infused water with Drake's face on the bottle.
That is leaps and bounds more innovative than High Dirt.
Hydrate with High Drake.
I am at sixes and sevens, and I actually almost emailed them last night with all of my questions because this feels like a first draft of a product.
Yeah.
And I think that we have hit critical mass of these companies who are releasing products just to release them, and they're taking the vowels out of their name. Like, stop.
I'm going to take the vowels out of my first name.
Kathleen. K-T-H-L-N.
Can I tell you why I'm at sixes and sevens?
Yes, please.
I thought I won the lottery.
What? What happened?
I shit you not, Bethany. So a couple of weeks ago, and I just found the lottery ticket in my bag, so I'm reminded of how I thought I really had mastered the universe. So I do buy lottery tickets when Powerball and Mega Ball are like 300 million, right?
Yeah,
I don't like want the like 40 million when they have to like reset. Yeah, that's...
You're too good for that.
Chunk change.
Yeah.
And so I bought a lottery ticket, and every time I buy one, I like initially look at the numbers and I'm like, okay, like the last number, I like, is it our anniversary? Is it our birthday? Like, I look to see if the numbers mean anything. Then
sure.
I put it in my purse and I pray.
Okay. Okay.
A couple weeks ago, it was like I was going to bed after midnight and they released the winning lottery numbers at like 11:45.
Yeah.
And so I opened up the Mega Ball website and I see the last number is 6.
And
I had a last number 6. And then it says the big jackpot winner is from New Jersey.
Kathleen!
And I'm like, this is me. I won the lottery. So I wanted to savor the moment. So I went to sleep.
Kathleen, you torture yourself more than anyone I know.
I went to sleep because I wanted to have like beautiful lottery dreams. And when I woke up in the morning, the only number that I had matched was the last number.
You, I do not know someone who tortures themselves more than you.
I thought I won the lottery.
What was it like in those hours?
This is my moment. This is my moment.
What had you bought already in your head?
I hadn't. Well, a house.
A house? A brownstone?
Something like that. Oh, I met a taste bud over the weekend. Can I tell you?
Tell me everything.
So it was my birthday. My book club like threw me a little birthday party at Dueling Pianos. Have you ever been to a Dueling Pianos thing?
I have not.
So there's a bar close to my house where at like 9 o'clock at night every Saturday night, there are two pianos up there and you can like request songs. And there are two guys just like constantly playing for 3 hours. It's a lot of fun. There was a lot of booze.
Sure, yeah.
And I was getting ready to leave and I get a tap on my shoulder from this guy. His name is Matt. And he's like, hello. I'm a taste bud.
Hi, Matt.
He's like, happy birthday. I'm a taste bud. I'm like, oh my God, it's so nice to meet you.
Hi, Matt. Was Matt like lovely?
He was so nice.
Or was he sketchy?
He wasn't. No, not at all sketchy. And he's like, I listen to you guys every week. Say hi to Bethany. So it was a really fun birthday to also meet a taste bud.
That's lovely. I love that. One last thing really quickly. I had an amazing weekend because I had remembered a store that I went to when I first moved to New York, and it was filled with curiosities and like bowls of teeth and skeletons and like stuffed taxidermy animals.
Curiosities.
Yeah. Very much curious. And I couldn't remember the name of it and I couldn't remember where it was. So Dennis and I decided that we were going to find it without using the internet. We were only allowed to ask people or to use a phone book. It was early 90s rules.
Talk to strangers on the street? Where the heck did you find a phone book?
We didn't. We couldn't find
one. At a restaurant for your children to sit on?
Basically, yeah. And it was awesome because everyone we talked to was totally on board for not using their phone and for playing along with us. And we finally went into a little toy store in the East Village.
Yeah.
And it sold old marionette dolls, that kind of toy
yeah.
store. And there was a gentleman standing in line. He looked like a tiny wizard. And he was wearing like perfectly round goggle glasses. And we told him what the store sounded like. And he was like, oh, that's called Evolution. And he said, where did you think it is? And I said, I think it's somewhere on 4th. And he goes, you are on the right track. Like, he was very mysterious about it.
So he didn't tell you where it was?
Nope. He told us what direction to go. He said, you are close. You will know it. You are very close. So we got there. We found it. And it was exactly 2 blocks away from where we had started.
No. And you had, like, done this whole roundabout
thing. Kathleen, it was within us the whole time.
You crowdsourced your own treasure hunt.
Yeah. It was wonderful. I highly recommend it.
And people were still willing to talk to you even with all the corona stuff going around?
Fully willing.
Uh-huh. Strange. Yeah. I feel like New Yorkers are kind of like, meh, on the corona.
You know what? Use hand sanitizer. Wash your hands. Do not be freaked out. Be smart.
I'm freaked out.
Try not to be freaked out. Look, again, the flu is more dangerous to your average person. This is from what I have heard and read on the internet from like the CDC. And people still don't get vaccinated against the flu. So like people don't freak out about the flu and that is dangerous.
I will say this, though. It's because there's more data on the flu than there is on this.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Tinder, if you're using Tinder this weekend, there was a pop-up telling Tinder users to protect themselves from the coronavirus. More important than dating is protecting yourself from the coronavirus.
Well, that's okay.
Practice safe sex and coronavirus protocol.
Put hand sanitizer on that dick. Kathleen.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we need to talk about it. If I have to make something that is required for making something else, I am not going to cook that thing. If there's more than one step, I'm just not going to do it. I don't have the time and I don't have the patience.
You know, I'm always so busy with this podcast and working on other projects that I barely have enough time to eat complete meals, let alone prepare healthy ones. That is why I love Daily Harvest.
Being busy doesn't mean you have to resort to takeout or overly processed food. So that's why Kathleen and I both love Daily Harvest. They deliver the food that you want to eat, but you don't have time to make. They bring it right to your door. They work directly with farms to harvest organic fruits and vegetables at their peak, and then they freeze them within 24 hours to lock in those nutrients, and everything stays fresh until you're ready to enjoy it.
Yeah, and you get to choose from more than 65 different options like smoothies, hearty soups, harvest bowls, and overnight oats.
And they have snacks. They have like these chocolate and avocado bites. They have several different flavors.
I know that Daily Harvest is a sponsor of this podcast, but this is a product that I'm going to continue purchasing with my own money.
Absolutely.
After they're not a sponsor anymore because I can't live without them anymore.
So go to dailyharvest.com and then enter the promo code acquired to get $25 off your first box.
That's promo code acquired, ACQUIRED, for $25 off of your first box at dailyharvest.com.
One more time, that's dailyharvest.com and then promo code acquired. Kathleen.
Yes. Happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
Yesterday.
Mazel tov. Back in the 40s and 50s, it was a very different climate for both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to be a wife, let's say, there were certain expectations of you. This is from the book How to Be a Good Wife by Edward Podolsky. Copyright 1943.
Well, first of all, a man wrote it.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, where's the guide how to be a good husband?
There is that. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
There is that. And it was written by women. It was crowdsourced by women. So, how to be a good wife. Number one, be quiet, Kathleen. Don't bother your husband with petty troubles and complaints when he comes home from work. Be a good listener. Let him tell you his troubles. Yours will seem trivial in comparison.
Get out of here.
Remember, Kathleen, your most important job is to build up and maintain his ego. Morale is a woman's business.
I am getting mad at my husband, even though he didn't do anything.
Number two, if your husband goes hungry, it is not his fault that he goes to saloons or prostitutes.
Stop it.
A social...
Sexually hungry or like hungry, like stomach hungry?
I mean stomach hungry, but like it's your fault if he goes anywhere because he can't think straight. He's so hungry.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh.
A social service meeting, an afternoon tea, a matinee, a whatnot, Kathleen, is no excuse for there being no dinner ready when a husband comes home from a hard day's work.
Well, you know what? Send me to jail because I never have dinner ready.
Dr. William Josephus Robinson said, quote, bad cooking, which is the usual thing in the average American home, has been responsible as much as any other factor for driving the husband to the saloon and to other places.
Oh my God, I'm so mad.
And when she does cook, she should cook and not be, as somebody said, a mere can opener. Another thing, Kathleen, you better make sure that house is clean, but don't make it too clean.
What?
This is from Married Life and Happiness by Dr. William Josephus Robinson, same guy.
Okay.
Men like a clean house, but fussing about it all the time, upsetting the house in order to keep it clean, will drive a man from the house elsewhere.
Oh, so like comfortably clean.
Yes. And lastly, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Always, for the love of God, wear pink underwear.
What the holy
the
hell?
The underwear should be spotlessly clean. That goes without saying. But every woman should wear the best quality underwear she can afford. And the color should be preferably pink. And lace and ruffles, I am sorry to say, add to the attractiveness of underwear and are liked by the average man.
You know, I've already failed at spotlessly clean. You women get their periods, and periods sometimes get on underwear.
It happens.
I'm not a millionaire. I have to wear my period underwear sometimes. Have you ever tried that underwear with that, like, absorbs the period?
No.
I've wanted to buy a pair multiple times.
Is it still around?
Yes, of course.
It is?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. They used to have ads up on the subway for a long time.
Yep.
What were they called?
Thinks.
Thinks.
T-H-I-N-X.
X?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like P-R-D.
No,
P-R-D.
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 P-R-D. Yeah,
period.
I've always wanted to try that, but it's all black. But I think now, like, isn't the sexiest color of underwear considered in 2020
yeah,
black?
I think so.
Black lingerie.
I think so.
Red lingerie.
Black or leopard print.
Leopard, yeah. I mean, most of my underwear is, like, I don't know, Target. So it's, like, whatever floral print Target had on sale that day.
Totally. I think I have llamas on one of mine. We don't list llamas anywhere. Okay, so now I'm going to give you a fun quiz.
Okay.
Well, it's a quiz. I can't promise it's fun. But, God, I hope so. Because here we are.
Okay.
Okay, so this is from the magazine McCall's.
Okay.
From the 1950s. Mm. I think it was the late 50s. There was an article on the cover by Senator John F. Kennedy.
Oh.
This is not by him, though. This is the article, 129 Ways to Get a Husband.
Ooh.
And this is like a clickbait article. It's just bullet points of how to get a husband.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you a quiz. I want you to tell me which is the real suggestion out of three.
Okay.
So number one, this is from the section, how to let him know you're there.
Oh, yes, you know, okay. Essential, hour one priority in life is to find a man.
And get his attention.
And yes,
He can't marry you if he doesn't know you're there, love.
If you're invisible, he can't put a ring on it.
Exactly. So, okay, which of these is the real suggestion? Number one, buy a convertible. Men like to ride them. Number two, pretend to twist your ankle. A gentleman will surely have to hold you now.
Ouch. Help.
Or number three, be a daredevil and wear trousers on your first date. Husbands love risk takers.
Oh, Bethany, I know that you would definitely wear trousers on your first date.
Yeah. Which is the real suggestion?
Trip and pretend like you hurt your ankle.
No.
What?
Buy a convertible. Men like to ride in them. That was number 43.
Cheeky, cheeky.
I know. All right. Next one. What is the real suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Is it learn a foreign language and pretend you don't understand English? He'll love the mystery and the chase, and you will enjoy, quote, learning English. Is it wear a Band-Aid? People always ask what happened.
Mm.
Or is it win the gold medal at the state fair baking competition? A man will surely be on the jury, and he will love meeting someone so talented.
Win a gold medal at the state fair baking competition.
You would think it is wear a Band-Aid. People always ask what happens.
Stop. That is so insane.
That's insane.
Though I do imagine if you live a very lonely life and you put a Band-Aid like right across your forehead and went to go do anything in public.
So they don't say where the Band-Aid needs to be.
Yeah, people might be like, oh my God, what happened to your head?
Oh my God, what happened to the Band-Aid?
You know what? It's like week six of this bullet going through my brain. I'm just trying to keep the sun off my scar. Can you imagine at the supermarket, the cashier asks you that?
Should I get bangs to cover this bullet hole? Girl, don't get bangs.
Never get banged.
I think I've said this before. I was once on the subway platform and I heard two women behind me, and one said, "Should I get bangs or Botox?" And the other one said, "Girl, don't get bangs.
Don't get bangs. Get Botox."
I love bangs.
Well, I love Botox.
You do what you gotta do.
I've never gotten it yet, but it's on my list of things to get done this year.
All right. What else is on your list of things to get done this year?
You buy a convertible and ride a man inside of it. And wear a Band-Aid on my head.
All right, next one. Which one of these is the real suggestion? Stand in a corner and cry softly in the hopes of a man asking what's wrong.
Stop.
Get better looking glasses. Men still make passes at girls who wear the glasses.
Mm.
Or wear high heels most of the time. They're sexier, unless he happens to be shorter than you.
Wear high heels.
Trick question. All of those were real.
Really?
Including stand in a corner and cry softly.
Honest to fucking goodness. I wish it.
I was talking to my dad today on the phone, and I was reading these to him, and he was like, "They really suggested that you just stand in a corner and cry in public." And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I do that all the time,
yeah.
But I'm not doing it to attract a man. I'm just sad a lot." And he was like, "Yeah."
Yeah. When he comes over, he's like, what are you crying about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough kittens in my life.
He's like, "Oh, I want to protect you and buy you all the kittens."
What are you crying about? I don't have a man to make roast beef for.
I have all this roast beef and no man to feed it to.
What are you crying about?
I've lost my pink pantaloons. I simply cannot find them. They're somewhere betwixt my knee and my upper thigh. Can you help me find them?
I want to have sex so badly, but no man wants to help me out.
Sir, I'm just so horny. I can save you. Okay, number four.
Yeah.
How do you get a man's attention? Pretend you've been stung by a bee. Stuff your brassiere with sweet-smelling spices, such as lavender or cumin. He will always want to be close.
Okay, well, who's going to put cumin in their bra? You smell like, I don't know.
I don't know. Or purposely have your car break down at strategic locations.
Oh, definitely purposely have your car break down.
It is that one.
I'm just thinking of a bra smell scented like cumin.
I don't know what cumin smells like.
Oh,
see, I don't
really
understand cooking, so I...
Oh, cumin is one of my favorites.
Oh.
I put it on my eggs, I put it on my guac, I put it on my salad.
Is it red?
It's brown. Cumin.
Cumin. Is it cumin?
It's like
it's not cumin.
I don't know.
It's like coupon.
C-U-M-I-N. I put in a lot of things. It's similar to like garam masala a little bit, but less curry-y.
Bless you for thinking that would help me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Number five. We're almost done.
Mm-hmm.
Are you bored?
No, I'm having a great time.
Fun fact, pulling back the veil, every time I finish my segment and we go to commercial, I say to Kathleen, "Was that interesting?" And Kathleen always goes, "Yes, honey.
Yeah, no,
that was good." Am I interesting,
no,
Kathleen?
I'm loving this because, okay. You know, International Women's Day.
Yeah.
It shows us how far that we've come.
Totally.
Still have miles to go before we sleep.
When I was talking to my dad, I said, it's really just two generations from his mom, my grandmother, doing this. And
mm-hmm.
He was saying, like, she always had to have the house clean when grandpa got home and she had to have coffee ready and, like, pie
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, it's just two generations between that and me going, I probably won't ever get married and I'm very happy.
Happy about it.
And my dad, bless his heart, goes, yeah, but that pie thing still sounds really nice.
You know,
I was like, yeah, but not being the person who has to provide it.
Well, now you can buy the pie at the supermarket or have it delivered. You know, a lot of the qualms that I have about my parents' marriage,
yeah.
because they're like a little bit older, a lot of it has to do with these like typical gender roles that
yeah.
I never understood or agreed with.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
All right, couple more.
Uh-huh.
Which is real. Read obituaries to locate desirable widowers. If you have an unwed older sister, bring her to the party with you. The men will then see that it could always be worse. Or, at a picnic, bite into a strawberry and swirl some of the juice on your lips. You
Ooh.
Will look beautiful and bright without appearing to be a tart. Which is real. Obituaries, bring the unwed older sister, or rub strawberries on your lips.
Rub strawberries on your lips.
No.
Get out of here.
It is read obituaries to locate desirable widowers.
Get out of here. Get send someone sloppy seconds. No, that's an awful thing to say about widowers.
No, we like widowers.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know all of them.
They're sensitive.
Uh-huh.
They've like been married once before. Sometimes they have adorable children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have some emotional wounds that
yeah.
I really want to take care of.
Yeah.
I want to help.
Okay.
This is now how to keep a man.
Okay.
When sneezing, aim to sound more like a mouse than a goose. One is cute, one is mortifying. Or if you find yourself simply too homely to catch a husband, look for the wallflower at your church social. He cannot afford to be too picky, and you can always fix him up.
I mean, that's kind of true.
It's true. Or research his previous girlfriends to avoid repeating the mistakes they made.
Oh, I mean, this is before social media. So how the hell are you going to research the girlfriends? Like, go to the library and take out yearbooks? Like, get out of here. I'm going to say the wallflower. If you're too homely, find a wallflower at church.
Nope. Research his previous girlfriends to avoid repeating the mistakes they made.
No way. Whomever wrote this, it was telling the future.
Yeah. And then they had a section called Anything Goes. Here are other fun ways to catch a man.
Okay.
Ride the airport bus back and forth from the airport.
Wait, really?
Paint your name and number on a roof and say, "Give me a buzz, pilots." Or last but not least, and this is my favorite,
okay,
stow away on a battleship.
Yes. You know, typical.
Yeah.
Just go out to sea for 6 months and hope that a cute guy finds you and you don't die of starvation.
Yeah. Or some sort of awful disease, which you will get on a ship. I'm sorry. If you go on a ship, you're going to get a disease.
Do you think you would have been a good wife, Bethany?
No. Yes. But depressed.
Yeah.
And profoundly chemically dependent.
And stifled creatively.
Yeah. I think I would have been one of those wives that was super passive aggressive and like was really good at keeping the house clean and everything, but also was drinking in the morning and probably making out with my best friend, Susie, or whatever.
Yeah.
And like just to get some of that frustration out.
Sexually rebelling.
Totally sexually. And I think I would have pinned my petticoat into a trouser at some point too, just to like feel the wind on my ankles.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Kathleen?
I think probably because I wouldn't have known any better, I would have been a good wife.
Yeah.
Like, I like cooking. I'm not great at cleaning. I would have tried to find a rich guy so I could have a cleaning lady.
But gotta do what you gotta do.
But the dresses and the pearls and the gossiping and like all the other pink panty bullshit, I probably would have been able to do.
Yeah. Okay, lastly, in a book entitled Sex Differences Between Men and Women and Nagging Wives by Dr. George W. Crane.
I can't roll my eyes into my head far enough.
I know. Women put together pros and cons of husbands.
Okay.
You get points. Mm. Okay. So here are positive points that men get if they are this in a relationship. An ardent lover. If you see that your wife has orgasm in marital congress, you get 20 points.
Oh, good for you.
If you try to keep your wife equipped with modern labor-saving devices, take 5 points, gentlemen. If you give your wife ample allowance or turn your entire paycheck over to her, 5 points.
Ooh.
If you are neat in appearance with your shoes shined, haircut, and suit pressed, or if you are willingly preparing your own breakfast, or if you're courageous and not a sissy, give yourself a point.
You deserve an award for your own breakfast creation.
Also, if your wife is ill and you call her from work to see how she's doing, get a point.
Oh, you're so thoughtful.
Here are some of the things that women do not like in a husband. Mm. If he stares at or flirts with other women while out with his wife.
I mean, that's a pretty simple thing to ask.
If he compares his wife unfavorably with mother or other wives.
Ew, gross.
If you publicly praise your bachelor days and regret having married.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I had such a good time when I was single.
If you blame your wife for everything that goes wrong. If you are angry if the newspaper is disarranged. If you talk of efficiency of the stenographer or other women. Or if you tease your wife about being fat, take away a point.
The efficiency of the stenographer.
I mean, those stenographers, when they are typing in their like shorthand type, they're typing multiple letters with both hands at the same time. That is sexy as
they
fuck.
Look real tap, 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 sexy, sexy, sexy. And they're probably wearing glasses.
Probably wearing glasses. And they're like sitting straight up.
A cardigan.
That bosom is popping out, just that little V of the cardigan. You just see, I know a stenographer. I will say this, she is very sexy.
Wait, stenographers still exist?
Yeah. You want to see a picture of my friend who's a stenographer?
How is that a career that you still get?
Because it's the fastest way to document court.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Let me show you my friend who is a stenographer.
I'm surprised they don't have, like, recording technology where it just transcribes itself and someone has to read over it.
You would think.
Yeah.
This is my stenographer friend. Ready?
Do you remember that show Science Court? Stop it. She's super hot.
Dude, she's the hottest woman I know.
She's like, she looks like Von Teese.
She looks like Dita Von Teese.
Yes.
Yeah, she's just, she's all curves and tattoos.
Man, that's crazy. Look at that. I'm learning so much about court.
Kathleen, you know that every Sunday, usually, I go to my aerial class.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite physical activity, but it is also profoundly draining. It's 3 hours of intense workout.
Yeah, you're flying in the sky.
I have really been trying to find something that helps me get through that workout, and coffee just makes me jittery.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I love Beat Elite from Human.
Ooh.
Human's Beat Elite helps you extend your endurance. It improves your energy and stamina. So I take it for aerial. And what I've noticed is that instead of getting this whoosh of energy that I would get from like pre-workout powders, I just feel like I am less exhausted throughout my workout.
That is very cool. And it's also plant-based, right?
Plant-based, naturally flavored, naturally sweetened. I don't even like beets, but it tastes like berries.
Oh, that's excellent to know.
Because I'm not going to drink if it tastes like beets.
Yeah.
Beat Elite is trusted by hundreds of elite teams, athletes, and organizations all over the world, so you know you're getting a top-notch performance product.
So do what Bethany did.
Yep.
Take your game to the next level with Beat Elite by going to livehuman.com/taste to get 20% off of your first purchase.
The team at Human is making this offer exclusively to our listeners only. You won't find a deal like this anywhere else. So that's live, HUMAN.com/taste.
LiveHuman.com/taste. I'm not a mom, and neither is Bethany, but I have a lot of friends who are moms. And Bethany, you and I are both cat moms.
Yes, we sure are.
So motherhood is crazy, sometimes overwhelming, and almost always a rewarding journey that can sometimes feel a bit isolated, you know, according to my mom friends.
Sure, absolutely. And if you've ever felt alone in the madness that is parenthood, then we have a show for you from our Audio Boom family. It's a brand new podcast just for all you moms, appropriately called FAM, For All Moms.
Join host Susan Yara and Shahrzad Kiade as they dive into mom topics that are both hilarious and serious.
Susan and Shahrzad share their sometimes embarrassing experiences along with advice and commentary from experts and friends. They're real, they're relatable, and they're tackling just about any topic in their lives, whether it's about their kids or their marriage or just life in general.
This Audio Boom original podcast has new episodes every Wednesday and is available on your favorite podcast app right now.
So be sure to search for and subscribe to FAM, For All Moms, in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or whatever your favorite podcast app is.
It's the top of the month, so I figured I would do a new Science Corner.
I love it when you do Science Corner. Science!
Corner with a K.
Yeah, and science also with a K where the C is.
Yeah.
But you still don't pronounce it.
So, number one.
Yes.
People keep threatening to replace hand sanitizer with vodka, specifically Tito's vodka.
Why?
People on Twitter have been tagging Austin-based distillery Tito's Vodka on Twitter, saying that they're going to replace their hand sanitizer with the vodka beverage during the coronavirus pandemic.
Why? Why? Like, they're going to, wait. So they're going to put Tito's in their hand sanitizer,
yeah,
or they're going to put hand sanitizer in their martini?
No, they're going to put Tito's vodka in their hand sanitizer bottles because hand sanitizer is like infamously run out in America.
Dennis and I were trying to get some over the weekend.
You can.
And we went into 2 Duane Reade's, a Walgreens, and a CVS, and they were all sold out.
Try online. I had some luck at Target.com. So apparently the tweets ranged from like possibly very serious to not serious at all. But turns out that vodka is only 40% alcohol. And per the CDC, hand sanitizer needs to contain at least 60% alcohol to be effective.
Oh.
So Tito's had to like put out an official statement.
Oh.
Please don't replace Tito's with your regular hand sanitizer.
It's like if you watch John Oliver's thing on COVID-19, he was talking about how some people are like, should we gargle with bleach? No.
No.
No, you shouldn't.
You should not.
Don't. No, don't gargle with bleach.
The same way you should not douche your vagina. Don't gargle with bleach.
Don't put bleach
anywhere
in or on your body unless it is on your hair to make it a delightful shade of blonde.
So I guess go to the liquor store and ask for alcohols over 60%. Those are the ones that you can replace.
So Everclear.
Everclear.
Everclear. You can light it on fire and then you can put it on your hands.
I read today online that Everclear is banned in some states.
Really?
Yes.
I had never tried it until I dated a guy named Casey.
Mm.
Or Cody.
Cody.
It was Cody.
Cody. Yeah.
Yeah.
A man who filmed himself licking ice cream tubs in Walmart and then putting those tubs back into the freezer is getting jail time.
No kidding.
Blurg.
That's just, that's not even safe. Like, it's stupid and also right now not safe.
Like the face that I'm making right now, it's just, I'm just disgusted and horrified.
Your face is as though someone took your nose and then twisted it, like, to spin your face into a tight knot. Yeah. Like when you're tie-dying something,
yes, exactly.
You know?
Like a little anus right in the middle of my face.
Yeah.
So a 24-year-old man in Texas has been sentenced to 30 days in jail for posting a video of himself removing ice cream container lids and then licking them, putting them back. He wanted to go viral. Oh, it was a container of vanilla Bluebell.
I love that flavor.
I know. Bluebell has a cult following. We don't get it here in the East Coast, but I know elsewhere in America it's like a favorite.
We grew up on it.
Food tampering is no effing joke. No effing joke.
No. You might think it's an effing joke. It is no effing joke.
Ugh, that guy also had to pay a $1,000 fine and also $1,500 in restitution to Bluebell creameries.
Yeah.
Because they had to like take out all the ice cream and replace it.
Yeah, we don't know which one you licked. You big jerk.
It's the same thing like when people taste something at a like a hot food bar and then put it back. I think hot food bars should be like made illegal.
But I love them because they cook for me.
Yeah.
It's all cooked.
It should be behind a glass.
This is why.
Behind a glass.
If it's behind glass, someone else has to get it for me. And I don't like that because they judge how much I want.
Yeah.
I've had so many people, usually dudes, so go more?
More?
More tuna?
More?
More tuna salad? You have a boyfriend, right? He's going to be eating some of this all for you? Why are you crying? Okay.
It's like
that's
when
how that goes.
When I'm at the restaurant and the server comes over and they're like, oh, would you like some Parmesan cheese? And it just keeps snowing over my plate and mm-hmm. they're like, should I stop? I'm like, no.
Did I say stop?
No. Keep going. Keep going.
Go.
I know.
Did I drop my finger? No, my finger is up. You will keep going.
Hot food bars. I'm sorry.
Look, agree to disagree.
Okay. A California woman has set up a trap for thieves with a motion-activated sprinkler. Apparently, this woman had a Ring floodlight camera.
Yeah.
But that was not stopping thieves in her neighborhood. This brings new meaning to the name Wet Bandits.
Yeah, it does. Home Alone reference.
In Pottersville, California, a resident named Katie Camarena took to Facebook to share her frustration with thieves prowling her neighborhood. Apparently, the crooks have been stealing tools and other items from area cars. She said, our floodlights didn't scare them off, so we decided to have a little bit of fun with a motion-activated sprinkler that has an impressive amount of pressure. So she posted the video. The incident captures her floodlights turning on because this potential thief is riding up her driveway on a bike. Like, the audacity.
But you're showing your face.
So he's on his bike. He's got, like, a hood. I'm assuming it was a guy in the video. I don't know if it was a guy, but in the video, the structure looked male.
Sure.
Okay. And he goes up to the back of this pickup truck because I guess people who work with tools for a living often leave them in their truck beds.
Yeah. Okay.
But in the back of the truck bed was this makeshift sprinkler, motion activated, like a huge bucket of water. And as soon as the guy like got close enough to the truck to like peer over into the bed, the sprinkler was like. The potential thief immediately took off.
That's what you get.
That's what you get. Yeah. Don't steal from people.
If they're not your tools, they're not your tools.
I just don't understand the mentality, I can take what's not mine.
I know. I think it's the same part of your brain that gets pinged when you get a good deal is that part of their brain that's like, I got this for free.
Yeah. I wonder if you get addicted to that feeling, shoplifting.
Sure. You know, you hear about all of those like stay-at-home parents, usually it's mothers you hear about who like get addicted to shoplifting because it's like a zing.
Yeah, even though they have the money.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Winona Ryder?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You get addicted to it. I stole your heart.
And I stole it back.
And then I stole it again. I cried in public. I cried gently in a corner to get a man.
I'm so horny.
I lost my panties.
During an emergency vet procedure, a veterinarian removed a very strange object from a pet python recently. First of all of God's creatures are beautiful creatures.
Sure.
But like a pet python?
Oh, I love it.
Really?
I mean, there's a specific kind of person who has a pet snake. Usually it's a dude who's at a party, but no one really knows who invited him and he brought his snake. I think we all kind of know who we're talking about. I knew a dude in college. His name was Zach. We're being real specific today.
Bens. I feel like Bens like reptiles too.
Yeah.
And like they always have a soul patch.
Totally. Yep. They sure do. And at least three hoop earrings, three like small gauge hoop earrings. But I do like snakes. I do think snakes are pretty cool.
So in a video posted on social media by Sydney, Australia's Small Animal Specialists Hospital, vets saved the life of a female jungle carpet python named Monty after she swallowed an entire beach towel. Was she packing for a vacation?
What?
Was she going to the beach? It took multiple vets and vet techs to use forceps after giving the snake some anesthesia to get the towel out. Some speculate that since the towel was brightly colored with fruit on it, that the reptile might have thought that it was food.
Baby. Oh, but they saved her life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, honey, don't. Oh, here it is. I'm looking. Oh, my God.
She's an 18-year-old python. She's graduated from high school at this point.
Yeah, she's old enough to know better. There's a picture of it, and it looks fake. It is. You said she was under sedation, right?
Yeah, she was under sedation.
So they are holding her. One of them is holding her mouth open, and they are literally pulling out a snake-sized tube of beach towel.
I think they said that she was like 10 feet long or something like that.
Honey, why are you have a python? Do you remember that story that came out? The woman was like asking why. It was something like she wrote into a newspaper or something and said, "It's so sweet. My python has started lying next to me when I sleep."
Oh, no.
And the vet or whoever said, "They are measuring you to see if they can eat you yet." It's so spooky that might be an urban legend, but I feel like it's not.
No, I feel like it's definitely
so
not
spooky. That's something my cat Loki would do, lay next to me, just be like, "Can I fit tall mom yet?
Can I eat you, mommy?
Is Loki big enough fit tall mom yet?
You know what?
Okay, keep growing."
Weird children do the same thing to their parents.
Weird children are the worst.
There's an investigation going on in Florida right now after several tongues preserved in jars were found in a crawl space. Police in Gainesville, Florida are investigating after a contractor doing work on a home discovered half a dozen jars containing human tongues inside of a crawl space beneath a residence. Once on the scene, investigators found gallon-sized jars containing human tongues with labels on them dated back to the 1960s.
Dude.
The house was formerly lived in by Dr. Ronald A. Bogman, a world-renowned pathologist from the University of Florida. He was a professor there, and he said that he obtained the specimens as a part of his research and brought them home with the intention of using them for additional work. He stored them in the crawl space because it was a cool area. He was doing research on like thyroid and neck conditions, and he meant to bring them back to the university. Totally forgot about them. Now his ex-wife owns the house. She was the one doing the renovations, and when he moved out, he totally forgot that the jars were beneath the house.
I once moved out forgetting all my Christmas ornaments were like in the basement. So it happens. I got them. It's fine. But like it happens. Did she give them back to him, or was she like, "Ugh, my creepy ex-husband"?
She probably was like, "Ugh, my creepy ex-husband." I mean, what would you do in that situation?
Keep them. But I'm the kind of person who would like that kind of stuff.
You would probably like decorate the jars and let the sun hit the tongues in just a way.
Yeah, totally. I bought a raccoon head this weekend.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, raccoon skull.
No, you didn't.
His name is Jasper.
Wait, did you buy it at that store?
Sure
that you
did. You can get him for like a good price. Here's the thing. I knew that he had been taken away. His body had been used for something. And I was like, I want his soul and part of him to be honored and to go to a good home. So I bought his skull.
I understand.
I bought a bell jar on eBay that he will be displayed in. And he has a good home now. I pet him in the morning.
You know what? You are so delightfully strange.
I love Jasper.
Weird watermelon snow pics are turning Antarctica red.
Watermelon snow.
So there are these incredible photographs coming out of Antarctica that looks like the snow is dyed with red food coloring. It looks delicious. It looks like a watermelon snow cone. Turns out, definitely not edible.
Oh.
The watermelon snow is likely caused by microscopic cold tolerant algae called Chlamydomonas nivalis.
Whoa.
Definitely toxic to humans. And it exists in sub-zero temperatures. And then when it starts to warm up, it releases like red spores.
So this is what it looks like. It looks like a murder happened on the snow.
Or, you know, someone just poured sugary water all over the snow and you should eat it.
Because it's not across the board pink or red.
No.
It's splotchy.
Yeah.
But in a way that is really off-putting.
Nature's snow cone. Some people even claim that the pink snow has a faint aroma of watermelon. But, you know, that's like when someone else is sick in the room. You're like, oh. I'm sick.
This is really upsetting. It looks so gross.
seagulls favor food that humans have handled.
Really?
So have you ever been on a beach? I mean, not you, but like
no.
the general public.
Have yeah, you? The general you probably.
Have you really never been to a beach?
I've been to a beach. I've just never stayed long. I don't like it. I get panicky, too hot.
So when you're like eating your sandwich and your chips on the beach and you're like, you're there for the long haul, like the whole day.
Sure.
Seagulls will sometimes come up and try and steal your food.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it. Because you've handled it, it makes them want it more.
Is it because they want what they can't have?
Maybe. Maybe that's why they want it, because they can't have it. But this new study shows that just because a human has touched it, it makes them want it more than other food that humans have not touched.
It's a little bit like when someone is married, they get hit on more because it's like, oh, someone wants him
yes.
or her.
Like guys, who a man who you didn't think was previously attractive.
Yep.
You're like, oh, another woman wants him.
Yeah.
In a study from the University of Exeter, herring gulls were presented with two identical food items, one which they had seen a human holding, the other which had not been held by a human. The gulls pecked more often at the handle. Food.
Is it awful that I feel so unaccepted by society that hearing this makes me feel better about myself? Like, oh, the seagulls like us. The seagull cares about my opinion.
Is that like when I'm ordering at a restaurant and my husband's plate comes, I'm like, why didn't I order what he had? And I automatically dive into it.
Totally. I want it because he has it and he liked it, so I want it.
In my experience, birds are posh. And they love $40 lobster rolls.
Yes. Agreed.
And every time I'm holding one, a bird is just like,
I think it's because it's lobster and smells of the sea.
That's why I accidentally backhanded a teenage chicken in Key West.
I remember you sell, but the chicken was okay, right?
The chicken was fine. The chicken like ate a french fry, flew off the bench and ate a damn french fry. It was totally fine.
You didn't hit it on purpose.
My lobster roll is very expensive.
You didn't hit it on purpose, right?
No, of course not. Okay. It was just like a total knee-jerk reaction.
Literally.
I did not hit it on purpose.
Okay. Don't go hitting chickens.
Don't go hitting on chickens. Also, studies show that if you have food in your hand and a seagull is looking at you, if you have a staring contest with that seagull, you stare down that seagull.
Yeah.
That seagull is going to back down.
Whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
Continuing our journey inside the animal kingdom, whale poo can help fight climate change even more so than trees.
Shut up. Explain yourself.
Let me explain. When we talk about climate change, saving the planet and trees, it's always like the big thing that people talk about, right?
Yeah, of course.
Use less gasoline, produce less carbon, save the trees, because trees need carbon to survive, and then they can like absorb the world's emissions with their massive trunks, blah, 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 blah,
blah. They give us oxygen. Everyone's happy.
The true hero in this equation is the whales. It's not the trees. So think about it. 75% of the planet's surface is covered by ocean.
Yes.
Right? Water. So this is where whale poo comes in as one of the greatest allies in global warming.
Okay.
Specifically, the poo of a blue species of whale.
Okay.
Turns out phytoplankton, aka microscopic marine algae, they require whale excrement to feed on. They also require carbon dioxide to survive, just like the trees. So these microscopic green specks just sort of meandering throughout ocean waters, cumulatively, they capture as much carbon as 1.7 trillion trees.
Whoa.
That is four times the Amazon rainforest.
Whoa.
That means that the more whales there are, the more they poop, the more phytoplankton we have in this world.
That's, you know what? We're good on you, sharks. Mm-hmm. I mean, whales.
Whales.
Keep on shitting.
Shitting. Whales also themselves, aside from their like magical poop, they absorb CO2 when they feed. And I read online that one whale is worth 1,000 trees. And that
Dang.
In its lifetime, a whale will absorb 33 tons of carbon on average throughout their lives.
Thank you, whales.
So, this is where humans come in as big a-holes.
Yeah, because we'd be killing those whales.
We'd be killing those whales. In the last century, humans have killed approximately 3 million marine mammals.
Jesus Christ. This is when I just shut down emotionally.
On a lighter note, do you keep your ketchup in the fridge?
I do.
A team of experts from a company called Which... WHICH?
Okay.
It's a UK brand that promotes like informed consumer choices. They've weighed in on which condiments we need to keep in the fridge. The answer for ketchup is no. There's no need to keep ketchup in the fridge. Not only does it contain vinegar, but tomatoes are naturally acidic, and this helps preserve the product in room temperature conditions.
I think I heard in the UK, for example, they don't. Mm-hmm. They keep it in their cupboard.
Yeah. My mom keeps it in her cupboard. I keep it in the fridge.
I keep it in the fridge.
But if I leave it out for like a day, I don't freak out and throw it away. I just put it back in the fridge.
I want it to be, I think I prefer it to be cold when I eat it.
Well, that's the thing that some people are saying.
I'm thrown off if it's warm.
So condiments that absolutely need to be kept in the fridge. Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Pesto. Salad cream. This is from the UK, so I guess that's salad.
Salad, like a dressing?
Dressing with cream in it.
Salad cream.
Maple syrup, tartar sauce, and jelly.
Wait, maple syrup has to be refrigerated?
That is what this article is saying. And I did a deeper dive because I know a lot of people that don't keep their maple syrup in the fridge. And it turns out that maple syrup can be kept in the cupboard, but it will grow bacteria.
I didn't know that.
It's not one of these condiments that can never grow bacteria.
I thought it was like honey.
No.
I want honey.
So ketchup, honey, pickles, olive oil, soy sauce.
Pickles?
Pickles. You don't have to keep pickles in the fridge. They'll last longer in the fridge, but you don't need to keep them in the fridge.
I'm looking up salad cream.
I have no idea.
It's not what we thought.
It's not? What's salad cream?
It's like mayonnaise.
Ew.
Heinz makes it.
Mm.
And it comes in a ketchup-shaped bottle, but it is creamy yellow and has a green label. Salad cream is a creamy, pale yellow condiment based on an emulsion of about 25 to 50% oil in water, emulsified by egg yolk and acidulated by spirit vinegar. It may also include other ingredients like sugar, mustard, salt, thickener, spices, flavoring, and coloring.
Is it like Miracle Whip?
It looks like Miracle Whip.
I don't even know if I've ever had Miracle Whip. Salad cream. All right. Remind myself not to. Note to self, do not buy salad cream.
Just the name of it.
I know. So condiments that you can keep in the cupboard. We already said some of them. Ketchup, honey, pickles, olive oil, soy sauce, chutney, malt vinegar, hot sauce, and Worcestershire sauce. All cool to keep in the cupboard.
Okay. Oh. I think I just learned something.
Butter. You don't need to keep butter in the fridge.
Yeah. I do, though.
Butter is mostly fat and contains very little protein. And apparently bacteria growth comes from proteins.
I think I still want to keep it in the fridge because I don't want to think about how it is made and what it is.
Yeah.
And I think I just want to be like, this is a magical product that needs to live in the fridge.
Salted butter has an even longer shelf life than unsalted butter.
And is delicious.
So unless you're following a recipe for pie dough, cookies, or scones that call for cold butter, there's no need to refrigerate it. But then why do the supermarkets keep it in? I guess because it lasts longer.
And probably retains its shape better.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the boxes will just get mushy.
Apparently, if you're going to leave butter on your counter, make sure that it's like it doesn't have a lot of oxygen on it and light and heat, and keep it in like a cold, dark place.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. So that's Science Corner.
I love Science Corner with a K and a K. Kathleen?
Yes.
Tell me about your pants.
Bethany, I am so obsessed with my Beta brand dress pant yoga pants. I like almost wish that I went to a job in corporate America every day so I'd have an excuse to like buy 10,000 pairs of these pants.
It's like your dirty little secret because they look like crisp professional dress pants, but they're yoga pants that are stretchy and you can do a high kick in them.
Do you have a to-do list that never seems to end?
Yes.
From running a flight of stairs to a meeting or like trying to catch the bus or like going grocery shopping, you know, to pick up food at the hot bar. You need Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants because they're going to take you from the office to home and anywhere that your day says that you need to go.
They're stylish, they're comfortable, and they're professional. You shouldn't have to just pick one. Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants come in all style of dress pants with the stretch, fit, and feel of yoga pants.
Yeah, I'm on their website right now looking at all the different cuts. There's the crop leg, the wide leg, the skinny leg, the boot cut. Personally, I have this skinny leg merino. They like cut off at the ankle. They're so dang cute.
I have the moto. They come with zippers. They're a yoga pant that has zippers.
Yeah, you look like a badass in your moto pants.
Thank you. You can choose from dozens of colors, patterns, cuts, and styles. And they also offer premium denim with the same flexibility and comfort as yoga pants.
Right now, our listeners can get 20% off of their first order. All you have to do is go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 20% off of your first order at betabrand.com/taste.
Millions of women agree that these are the most comfortable pants that you will ever wear to work.
So go to betabrand, betabrand.com/taste for 20% off. Kathleen.
Yeah.
Have you ever found something online and felt so profoundly seen and validated?
All the time.
You're not the only one like you out there? Mm-hmm. Okay.
You mean like those memes that say stuff like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you don't need to buy anything on Amazon today.
Yes. Yeah. Like that. Well, my sister sent me this article from this author. Her name is Maureen Johnson, and she wrote it for the website crimereads.com. I have never felt so validated than I did when reading this article.
Crimereads.com?
Yeah. And her article is called Your Guide to Not Getting Murdered in a Quaint English Village. And the subtitle is, You Stay Away from That Village Fete, Do You Understand?
What? But parties are fun.
I have never felt so seen. So can I read to you some of the ways that you should avoid getting killed?
Sure.
Your Guide to Not Getting Murdered in a Quaint English Village by Maureen Johnson. This is back from January. Places to avoid. The Village Fete. Mm. The Village Fete is a fair, a celebration on the village green. They toss coconuts, they judge cakes, they drink tea and whack toy rats with mallets. It's a nice way to spend a summer's day and thin out the local population, because where there is a fete, there is a murder.
Of course.
If you enter a town while a fete is happening, you are already dead.
Also, where there is a fete, there is corona.
Yes. Well, yes, now. Yes, absolutely.
And not just the beer.
Also, avoid anywhere with a vat. In English villages, vats only exist for drowning people. In beer, in pickling brine, in whiskey, in jam. This is doubly true if the vat was built by 14th century monks.
Oh, can you imagine dying inside a vat full of pickling brine?
Well, there was an episode of, it was not Midsummer Murders, it was Father Brown, where someone got murdered in a vat of beer at a monastery.
Well, that's actually kind of cool, because then you're drunk and you don't realize that you're drowning.
Yeah, no, I think they realized they were drowning.
Now that I think about it, I actually do like pickle juice.
You're going to die for it?
It's, you know, it's not the worst way to die.
Want to put your money where your mouth is?
Not as bad as truth serum.
Places to avoid to not die in an English countryside.
I'm freaked out.
Places with gargoyles or statuary. Ghosts and monsters of stone, they are there to kill you.
Gargoyles, yeah. That's like, if you are entering a building where there's a gargoyle,
yeah.
A, the people in that building are smarter than you are.
They are.
Or B, the people in that building are older than you are.
Yeah.
Or C, a combination of the both.
Yeah, and they're going to kill you. Uh-huh. Also avoid the village church. The vicar will find your body if you venture here.
Well, I avoid church, but for other reasons.
Avoid kitchens. She just says kitchens? No.
Well, that's where the knives are stored.
Exactly. Unless, attics.
Unless it's my house. I store the knives in the bedroom.
Yep. Or if my house, I store my boots there. Yeah. Attics. Join the ghosts up there. Why don't you? She says. Mm. Higher floors. Stay low. They can't throw you off the balcony if you never go up the stairs. Mm. Stairs, she says, are the xylophones of death. Basements. They don't even have to dig a hole to put you in.
Yeah.
Wells, full of the skeletons of Victorian children. And if you are unwise, you... And they say, lastly, avoid the village green, also land. She also lists people to avoid, like the impoverished aristocrat, the amateur astronomer, and bird watchers.
Amateur astronomer.
And the only places that are generally safe, the pub and anyone with a dog.
You can't trust a bird watcher. Here's why.
Why?
They spend way too much time in solitation waiting for birds, which basically you're waiting for nothing to happen. Because what happens when a bird comes?
They come.
They land on a branch, they look around, they peck at some shit, and then they're like, peace. And so you're in the woods by yourself, way too much time by yourself to like think of really creepy-ish.
Yeah.
And you have binoculars. So that means you can spy on other people.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
And you know your way around a map.
You do. Oh, you do. Oh, crap.
And you know your way around a compass.
And you're willing to sit and wait.
Exactly. You're too patient.
God damn, Kathleen.
You cannot trust someone who's into bird watching. No way. That's why when I go on cruises, I mean, like, I've only been on, like, two.
You're lucky you survived both of those. You know my feelings.
There's always an excursion for people who like to go bird watching. Those are the people who I stay away from.
Yeah.
They have a certain look.
There's a certain something to them. They're their own breed.
Speaking of English countrysides, I need to tell you, according to ApartmentTherapy.com, 80s floral patterns for your home are making a comeback.
Yes.
You like that?
Bring it back.
From frilly curtains from frilly curtains to matching dust ruffles to skirted furniture and more, rich floral patterns, a.k.a. English cottage style, is back. And it's all part of a bigger interior design trend called, and this is weird because I've never heard of it, Grand Millennial Style.
Oh.
And basically, it's humans in their mid-20s to mid-30s who love busy/feminine wallpaper, wicker, chintzy things, ruffles, and needlepoint.
You know what? I can't say I love wicker, but I do love a busy floral pattern. Now, make it in dark colors, add a spot of gold, I am there.
Well, then it's more Victorian.
Then it's more Victorian.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. Like, anything that's too precious, like, even in what I wear, too, if it's too precious, I can't do it.
Yeah. Mm. That's good to know. I do enjoy that this is making a comeback.
You know those types of houses that you walked into when you were like a little kid where the drapes, the fabric on the drapes matched the club chair and then matched the pillows on the couch.
Like, holy.
Those houses are very prissy.
Like the first time Kim Kardashian went to the Met Gala.
Oh.
When she wore the dress that made her look like a sofa.
Oh.
And then everyone made fun of her and then she cried on the internet.
Your joke's on us. She's a millionaire.
She's a millionaire and a style setter, apparently, because that's what everyone's couch looks like again.
Bethany, did you watch anything good on Netflix or your smart TV over the weekend?
I have been watching this series on Amazon Prime called Thriller.
Oh.
And it's from, I want to say, the 70s. And it's like this old British series of just anthology. So each episode is a different story and the acting is broad and the music is rawr, and the clothing is amazing. And it's all very 70s and very like shticky, but it's, you know, scary.
How vintage of you.
Yeah. So it's called Thriller. So, it's on Amazon Prime.
Well, you're highbrow. I am extremely lowbrow.
What have you been watching?
I've been watching this thing on Netflix called Love is Blind.
Okay. I know so many people who are obsessed with this show.
I hate reality television. Like, I know people who are like Real Housewives and The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise and all that other BS.
Yeah.
I have no taste for TV shows like this.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Love is Blind.
You are in good company.
And I binged the whole thing over the weekend. Even my husband came home from work one day on Friday night and I like caught him up. I was like, this happened and that happened and these people are together, blah, blah, blah. He sat and watched the rest of it with me. We even sat through the reunion show.
There's a reunion show?
It is delicious. The premise is that you date someone for like 2 weeks or 10 days, something like that. But you never get to see them. You only get to talk to them Roman Catholicism style through like a confessional booth.
Yeah.
They call that the pod.
Okay.
And then one of these people has to propose to the other. And then they decide to get married before even laying eyes on each other.
So if you want to see this person, you have to propose marriage to them.
Yes. And then you have to like go through with the wedding. And then at the altar, then that's where you can change your mind.
So one of these couples is like still married, right?
Yes.
Because this came out a couple years ago, right? It's, isn't it out of
they,
UK?
So they recently, it's not UK. They recently released it on Netflix, but they shot it in 2018.
Gotcha.
So some of these couples have been married for more than 1 year.
That's awesome.
It is deliciously lowbrow.
Who would have thought, man? No, I mean, NPR has a podcast called Pop Culture Happy Hour, and they're very highbrow, and they loved this show. They do like stuff. They like a lot of stuff, but they just have a lot of opinions, which is the whole point.
I mean, that's the whole point of podcasting.
The whole point.
I have so many opinions.
We have a lot of opinions.
Meanwhile, I'm over here munching on this beautiful edible arrangement that some of our taste buds got together and sent me for my birthday.
Yes, they are so sweet.
The Fairy God Buds group, we sometimes make donations to people in need.
Yeah, they one of their representatives reached out to me and was like, hey, is this a thing we can send Kathleen? And I was like, yeah, you guys are so nice. And then they did it. And here it is. And you're letting me eat some of it.
Eat as much as you want. I've been munching away on the chocolate covered apples.
Oh, so good.
And they way underrated. Fuck chocolate covered strawberries. Chocolate covered apples are where it's at.
Where it's at. Better texture. Also, they made a donation in your name to Happy Homes Animal Rescue, which is where we both got our kittens.
Yeah, I'm so touched. And I just made a little video and I'm going to send it to them shortly. But wow.
So, Kathleen, ask me what I learned this week, my love.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that one of the best ways for me to calm down and unwind is to watch makeup tutorials on YouTube. And my new favorite is a gentleman named Robert Welsh. He has a bajillion followers, so you probably already know who he is. But there's a combination of his wonderful accent, and he just has a lovely level of... So he's a professional makeup artist. He's been a makeup artist for years. So he's not just an internet makeup artist or an Instagram. He's done this in real life.
Yeah.
So one of the things he does is he will do reaction videos to other makeup artists. And what I love is that he never criticizes the person. He just talks about their technique or what they're doing.
See?
And so
constructive criticism.
Yeah. So he's not mean. He never comments on anyone's relationship status or weight, because so much of the beauty community on YouTube is like scandals and all this stuff. He doesn't get involved in it. He doesn't have time. He's a makeup artist. And so I just really like watching his videos. And sometimes he just tells stories while doing his own makeup. And he's a delight to watch. So if you are finding yourself overwhelmed and stressed, just look up Robert Welsh on YouTube and you will love him. And he has a scar on his eyebrow that I'm really jealous of.
Like all the cool people have scars on their eyebrows.
Well, I don't have a scar on my eyebrow.
I know. I could give you one if you want.
I would like it.
Come here. I'm going to pop you on that face.
Yeah, I'm going to punch you. I'm going to punch you with my bedroom knife.
I learned something, a couple of really strange things over the weekend.
What'd you learn, Kathleen?
Apparently, North Korea and Cuba are the only places where you can't buy Coca-Cola. Is this true?
Oh, I mean,
I read it on the internet.
I'd believe North Korea for sure. Cuba... I guess. Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Did you also know that the hottest chili pepper in the world is so hot it could kill you?
Oh, I bet my mom would still like it.
And the Canary Islands, named after dogs, not birds.
What kind of dog is named a canary? Canary dog. Google it. Canary dog. Canary dog.
The Latin phrase for the Canary Islands is Canary Insulae, which is island of dogs.
And there's a type of mastiff known as the canary mastiff.
Yeah, it's true, right? I always just imagine that there are a lot of canary birds flying around the Canary Islands.
That's totally what I thought, too.
Right?
All right.
Bethany, where can I find you?
You can find me on social media, Twitter at Radio Bethany, Instagram at Ms. Bethany Watson. Kathleen, what about you?
You can find me everywhere at Webgirl Kathleen.
You can also find us as a podcast on social media, on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out our Facebook fan group because there are a lot of meetups going on lately.
Nice. On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
If you want to send us some snail mail, you can do so at an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Speaking of snail mail, I want to give a special shout out to Chris and Sarah sending the Valentine's Day card. Made me very happy with super cute Doge wearing super cute sweater.
I love getting a good Valentine's Day card with a pet on it.
Me too. You can also send us a phone call.
Send us a phone call?
Yep, you can do it. You pick up your phone and you dial the following number. 917-994-0353.
Plus, wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Ooh, that felt good.
Yeah, it felt good. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Kathleen. It is your friend Taste Bud Drumming Joe. Just calling to wish you a happy birthday. Hope you have a wonderful, happy day today. I'm trying to remember anything interesting about being 34 a few years ago, coming up kind of empty. Thanks for everything you do. We all love you. Bye.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday, happy birthday to ya. Hi, my name's Jasmine. I was just calling in to say happy birthday to Kathleen. I hope that you are having an amazing birthday.
Hey ladies, hey taste buds, this is Christian. I just want to give Kathleen a very, very big happy birthday. You're just such an inspiration and I really do appreciate everything that you do with being as honest as you can. It's been just amazing and so brave and I wanted to share that I appreciate you more than you know. This podcast has meant so much to me. It's really made me feel not so alone in the world and I really thank you.
Kathleen, happy birthday! This is Maggie calling from Massachusetts for the first time ever. And I just want to thank you, Kathleen, from the bottom of my heart for being you and allowing us taste buds to truly get to know you over a podcast. It's so crazy. You're so sweet and kind and funny and honest about life in the most relatable way. And I've laughed and cried with you and we've never met. It's amazing. So thank you. We need more humans like you in the world. I hope you have a magical birthday with lots of wine.
Hi, Kathleen. Michelle from Maine here. Just wanted to wish you a spectacular and very happy birthday.
Hi, it's Caitlin from the bathroom. Not in the bathroom stall, just in the bathroom at my office. And I am calling to wish Webgirl Kathleen the happiest of birthdays. You are such a good role model to all the listeners, and you're just such a good friend, and you have an amazing soul.
What does a cat like to eat on his birthday? Mice cream and cake. Bethany's going to kill me. Why do candles love birthdays so much? They just want to get lit. I hope you get lit too. I love you, girls. Happy birthday.
Just wanted to call and say happy birthday, Kathleen.
Happy birthday, Kathleen. I hope you had the best day ever. This is Taste Bud Shayna. I hope you had the best day ever, and you're drinking wine and staying in your apartment and eating lots of Indian food. We love you.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Tisa Jennifer from Queens, New York. I just wanted to call to wish Kathleen a very happy birthday. I hope your day is filled with rosé, love, and lots of TV shows.
Hi, ladies. This is Taste Bud Hannah calling from Philadelphia. I just wanted to wish the kind, intelligent, majestic angel we all love, Kathleen, a very happy birthday. You have been such a motivator and an inspiration to me, especially after a very difficult year. Your voice and Bethany's too have really become little treasures in my week. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Kathleen. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Kathleen.